The scandal of divisions between the different Christian churches is at the heart of an innovative education program on offer at the Ukrainian Catholic University in the city of Lviv. The Distance Learning Master's program is the brainchild of the university's Institute for Ecumenical Studies, which was set up in 2004 to promote reflection on and education around the promotion of closer cooperation between churches and Christian communities. Among the professors from many different nations and denominations teaching this master's degree course is theologian and member of the Evangelical Church in Germany, Reverend Dr. Konrad Reiser, former General Secretary of the World Council of Churches. He told me more about the aims of this pioneering program.
I see the value in this effort, particularly in offering the possibility of ecumenical studies for people who in their normal process of theological formation or within closer proximity to the place of their work have no possibility otherwise of entering a course of ecumenical studies. This is particularly true in the countries of Central and Eastern Europe. But it's also true, of course, for overseas countries with more limited possibilities of formal theological and ecumenical education.
It is significant, isn't it, that this program is based in the Ukraine, which has seen and continues to have particular difficulties between Orthodox and the Greek Catholic Church there.
That is true. I have developed respect and admiration for the efforts undertaken in the context of the Ukrainian Catholic University. With the establishment of this Ecumenical Institute, I was invited to serve on a committee d'honneur for this Ecumenical Institute. And I think the value of this work is enhanced by the fact that they live within an ecumenically very sensitive but potentially also very promising situation between Roman, Greek Catholic, Orthodox, and also more recently arrived Protestant communities.
How much do you think that this ecumenical work is a priority today within the mainstream denominations, if you like? Or is it really just the pioneering vision of a few institutes or individuals?
It should be a priority, let me put it this way. Unfortunately, to a certain extent, it has been taken as a matter of fact. Nobody opposes, or nobody is perhaps too much, only few representatives of the major denominations oppose ecumenism. So it is taken as a matter of course that you maintain open and friendly relationships between the different churches and denominations. But it is no longer something that carries a particular value and that has a priority on the church agenda. And that is also reflected in the fact that we have less and less people in leadership positions in the churches who have some form of specific ecumenical qualification. You see, during the decades of ecumenical work, a lot of ground has been covered in terms of disciplined and very careful ecumenical dialogue. A common tradition has emerged between the churches. A common language has emerged between the churches that really should enable them to move forward together. But this common tradition, this common language is hardly known. And only if you achieve the goal of shaping, forming a new generation of ecumenical leaders, will we be able to really reap the fruit of this long ecumenical effort in dialogue between the different traditions.
We're in fact about to mark this important centenary of the birth of the modern ecumenical movement. How do you think perhaps we should be trying to pass on the wealth of this tradition? How can that best be done, do you think?
Well, one way is to offer programs, courses of ecumenical education to a new generation of pastors, priests, church leaders, teachers of religion. That is being recognized as a priority task. In a former period, much of this initial ecumenical socialization, if you might call it this way, has taken place through the student Christian movement. Most of the early leaders of the ecumenical movement have been initiated into ecumenism through the work in the student Christian movement on an interdenominational basis. That has become much, much weaker and in many countries hardly exists anymore. So another form is to offer possibilities for exchange, for intervisitation. There was a time when ecumenical work camps for young people had a particular attraction, and again, this has opened the door for many young persons for a lifelong process of ecumenical work. So we have models that perhaps should be reinstated, revalued. Certainly, studying ecumenical texts, as is the case in this program offered in Lviv, is one way, and it is only one way, because ultimately, ecumenism doesn't rest on a set of ideas or a framework of teaching lessons and doctrines. It's ultimately a matter of relationship between people who are different, who will probably remain different, but who develop not only respect for one another, but who recognize each other as being part of the same community of Christ.
You say there are very few who openly oppose the ecumenical movement, and yet there does seem to be a growing concern in some quarters about ecumenism and its threat to a very precise religious identity.
That is true. That is particularly true for those who hardly have any relationship to those whom they fear. It's an imagined threat. This is true particularly, for instance, in Russia, where this rejection of ecumenism as being imported from outside and as potentially undermining the purity of the Orthodox tradition is fairly widespread. But it is particularly widespread among people who have hardly ever seen anybody or been close to anybody from another tradition. So this is part of the deep-seated nervousness among people that in the process of transcending boundaries, in the process of globalization, the historic identities, cultural, religious, social, and otherwise, might disappear. I think one has to take this fear seriously, but at the same time not exaggerate it. Because ultimately we will have to learn to live together with differences. Jonathan Sacks, the Grand Rabbi in Great Britain, has called it the dignity of difference. And I think he has put his finger on the right spot.
Finally, Dr. Reiser, you've given a lot of your life's work to this mission, the ecumenical mission. How optimistic are you at this point about the future direction of the ecumenical movement?
I think it's not a question of optimism or pessimism. I'm profoundly convinced that the ecumenical movement is the fruit of the workings of God's Spirit, that it is responding to the will and the prayer of Christ. And therefore, we can entrust its future to the hands and the design of God. And from that perspective, I think there is no choice. It's, in my view, it is obvious that God wills the churches to come together in witness, in life, in confession, in service. And therefore, I still feel that it is true when it has been said that the future of the Christian community will be ecumenical, or there will be no future.
My thanks there to Reverend Dr. Conrad Reiser, former General Secretary of the World Council of Churches and a professor for the Distance Learning Master's Program at the Institute for Ecumenical Studies at Ukraine's Catholic University.